In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
What has God promised to give Israel and the Jewish people in the future? Well, good morning. Welcome to the Word for Life broadcast. And we're broadcasting from wonderful Brookside Baptist Church on Pilgrim Road in Brookfield, Wisconsin. And let me just give you an invitation. If you don't have a home church right now, or if you're looking for a church, we'd love to have you come right here and meet with us Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and other times when we have great services, God-honoring music, and just enjoy being here. Well, my name is Richard Schmidt. I'm with Prophecy Focus Ministries. Brookside Baptist Church is my home church. And I just offer, if you're interested, to go to our website at www.prophecyfocusministries.com. And you can see what we're up to and where we're traveling around the country. And then we do have resources available for you on God's prophetic ministry. Well, over the next several broadcasts, we have been and will be discussing promises that God has made specifically to Israel and then to those of us who are Christians during this present church age. There has been much confusion among Christians even as to the importance of Israel, or why should we as Christians be concerned about that little bitty piece of land in the Middle East called Israel and our Jewish friends. There's also been a problem, or I'll say maybe some tension, between those that believe that Israel will never be important again and is not important. Well, I would tend to disagree with that based on biblical principle and the various covenants that God has promised to give to Israel and to fulfill with them. And that's what we'll be looking at today. It's very important, and the Apostle Paul made it very clear that Christians must take heed to sound doctrine, 1 Timothy 4, verses 13 through 16. Timothy also was told by the Apostle Paul, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. So doctrine is extremely important to God, and therefore we need to get it right. So we're going to take a quick look at the second covenant that God made with the people of Israel, a promise, one that will not be revoked. That promise was never given to Christians or to the church, but specifically to Israel. And we're going to look at that second covenant in just a moment, and then we're going to find out exactly when God intends to fulfill that covenant. Well, let me review God's prophetic timeline very quickly. Just three specific areas, and you can jot these down if you're able to. If you go to Genesis chapter 1 through 11, we have the creation, and we have 2,000 years of history, literally, in that small little piece of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1 through 11 covers from approximately 4,000 B.C. to 2,000 B.C. Yes, you heard me correctly. We believe with all our hearts, according to the Scriptures, that God created the heaven, the earth, and everything that in there is in a 6 literal day period. Not millions and billions of years, not evolution. No, God created. It's very specific in the Scriptures. Genesis chapter 1 and 2 outline the creation acts, and then the first 2,000 years of history in that little piece of the Bible. Well, in Genesis chapter 12, we find out about Abram, whose name was later changed to Abraham, that God made a covenant with him. And we looked at that in our last broadcast. From approximately Genesis chapter 12 all the way through the first part of Acts is the next 2,000 years of history. So from 4,000 to 2,000 B.C., we have Gentiles only. In Genesis chapter 12, Abraham, of course, whose son was Isaac, and Isaac, of course, had Jacob. And Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And therefore, that's when Israel, the nation, if you will, that's where it was developed from. So, for 6,000 years is the length of time history has existed. Well, let's look at the second covenant that God gave specifically to the people of Israel, our Jewish friends. And this covenant is called the Land covenant, which is found in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 to 5. Let me just read a couple of the verses for you. And when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and return to the Lord your God, you and your children, referring to the Jewish people and the people of Israel, and obey his voice in all that I command you today with all your heart and with all your soul, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you, and he will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. If your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will take you. Now pay attention to verse 5. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land that your fathers possessed. In other words, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, also known as Israel, that you may possess it. And he will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. So we have this wonderful covenant that God originally, if you will, gave to Abraham, and now he once again is reiterating it in Deuteronomy about the land covenant, or the covenant that God made with the people of Israel, the Jewish people, not Christians. Christians aren't even on the scene until after the cross, several thousand years later. So here's a promise that God specifically made to Abraham, and then we find out in Genesis chapter 26 and verse 3 that promise was given to Isaac, and then we find out that promise was once again given to the grandson of Abraham, or to Jacob, in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 13, and Genesis 35 and verse 12, when that promise is given once again to the grandson of Abraham, Jacob, whose name is also known as Israel. So very quickly, what four things do we find in this land covenant? Well, first of all, in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 3, God made it clear that he would regather the Jewish people after they were dispersed. Now, let's go back in history. In the year 70 AD, the Jewish people were dispersed from their land, and they have not returned in totality to their land since that time. Now you say, well, wait a minute, in 1948, didn't Israel become a state? Well, in fact, it did. But have all the Jewish people returned to that land? The answer is no. Has the land, as outlined in Scripture, been completely given to Israel? The answer is no. It's still divided between, if you will, the Palestinians and the Jewish people. The Israelis or the Jewish people do not currently have all the land that God promised to them. So what is God promising? He's saying one day in the future, he will regather all of his people from Israel, the Jewish people, to their land. He will gather them. In verse 3, he said, he will gather you again from all the people. In verse 4, the Lord your God will gather you. So God promises to regather his people, Israel, the Jewish people, to their land. Secondly, he said, there will be retribution on Israel's enemies. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 7, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your foes and enemies who persecute you. So not only is God promised to restore the Jewish people to their land of Israel, but he promised to take care of those who have persecuted and gone up against them. God also promised that he would replenish Israel. And here's some more of the promises that God is giving to the Jewish people or to the people of Israel. You shall again obey the voice of the Lord. You will keep all of his commandments, and they will be made prosperous in all the works of their hands, in the fruit of their womb, in the fruit of their cattle, and in the fruit of the ground, in Deuteronomy 30, verses 8 through 10. So all these wonderful blessings have not occurred yet. They've not been fulfilled, and yet God said they will happen. Now, where is the issue here with Christians versus Jewish people at this time? First of all, there should be no rub, because it's very simplified. There are those that state that the church has become Israel. There is no such proof in Scripture whatsoever to state that. These promises that God made to Israel will come true. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 31, God stresses this once again. In fact, listen to these incredible words. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinances of the moon, the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves. In verse 36, if these ordinances, in other words, if the sun, the moon, and the stars, if those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. In other words, what God's saying is, ladies and gentlemen, if you think the Jewish people are not valid, if you think that they shouldn't exist, well, here's God's position on it. If you can make the sun, the moon, and the stars cease from existing, then the Jewish people will cease to exist. That's a promise. That's from God himself to his people, the promised land, the promised people. So what does that have to do with me and you? Why is that important to us? Well, first of all, those promises are future. God has laid out a very specific prophetic timeline in Scripture. The next major prophetic event that God stated will take place, not guess it will take place, but will take place, is the removal or the rapture of the Christians. Again, Christians started at the cross, a little bit after that. So for 2,000 years, Christians have been forming, if you will. Many have died, and of course, there's many of us that are still alive. God made it very clear in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, that all the Christians will be removed from this earth, dead and alive, and taken to heaven at one specific future date. We don't know what it is. God hasn't given us any specific signs. He just promised that that will take place. Then we refer back to God's next major prophetic event, which, as we find in Daniel 9 and verse 27 specifically, that there will be a seven-year tribulation period, a horrible time of vengeance, if you will, on those who have not sought after God in preparation for the next major event. So we have 7 years of tribulation. Then we have the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth, his second advent, where he, according to Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 7, will put his millennial or 1,000-year kingdom on earth in place, which is when exactly this land covenant will be fulfilled. Well, ladies and gentlemen, young people, let me ask you one quick question. What does Jesus mean to you? We just recently celebrated Easter, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus is everything. Without knowing him, there is no hope. The scripture made it very clear that there will be a rapture or removal of the church before the prophetic calendar begins again. Well, let's go to this. Are you going to be one of those who will go home to be with the Lord when he calls his people home? The Bible makes it very clear that we're all sinners. Romans 3:10 and 3:23, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of our sin is death, physical death and spiritual death, eternal separation from God. But Jesus Christ made a very specific plan, which many of you have heard probably in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in him, Jesus Christ, should not perish or go to hell, but have everlasting life in heaven. What will you do with Jesus today?
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.